amazing how God in His providence saves His people and brings them to the truth. Amazing thing. It's all done according to God's order, God's plan. And, you know, there's times that we sort of get discouraged or down, but then when you look at all the blessings and all the things that God does for us and, as a church, as individuals, and as a church, then there's always occasion to be rejoicing, to be thankful for God's amazing grace. Matthew chapter 16 and 19, and verse 16, what I want us to notice. This is 19th chapter of Matthew's got a lot of good, interesting subjects in it. He said, verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might, or that I may have eternal life?" And that's what everybody wants to know. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Notice it. "He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now look at this. The young man saith unto him, "All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I?" Oh. Now notice the question he asked. But Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say to you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's about his prayer. Lord, we're thankful you let us come together again tonight and are ready to be able to sing the same songs of praise to you, to glorify your name. We're thankful now for this time that you've given us that we can pray. And we also, Lord, are thankful for the time that you always give us for the preaching of the word. And we pray that you would cause the word of tonight to go forth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we as saved might rejoice, and those that are not saved might see their need. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Redeemer and our sin barrier, and went to the cross of Calvary and died there in our stead, in our place. We pray tonight, Father, that it may please you to open the heart of some lost sinner. They might see their need of a Savior, that you might reveal yourself unto them, and they might, by repentance and faith, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. Now, Father, I pray that you would guide us and direct us and lead us and forgive us of our sin. In Christ's name, I ask it all. Amen. I believe that when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," that includes both the poor and the rich. It doesn't make any difference what position or station in life that you're in. If God has purposed and planned the salvation, either the poor or the rich, they're going to be saved. There are some things that will hinder, and many times will become stumbling blocks. And I think it probably has to go without saying that one such thing is great possession. Great possessions have been given to some great men. I mean great men of the Bible. And great possessions can be used for the glory of God. And many of them did use them. And there's people today that use them for the glory of God. But Jesus made it very plain here when he said, and this is his word, not mine. He said, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." He just got through saying in the young man here, he asked the question. He said, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now you know and I know there ain't no good thing we can do to be saved. Jesus wanted to bring this to his attention. He wanted to bring this point home. And he led him all the way down because he knew his heart, knew what he was thinking, and he knew where his treasure was. And he said to him there, and he said, "Go and sell that thou hast, and give the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." So when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And his love was for his possessions more than for God, or for the Lord. Now when he goes on and says, Jesus is not saying that a rich man cannot be saved. He's not saying that. There's a lot of rich men that have been saved. I believe Abraham was a saved man. I believe that many of your Old Testament saints that you read in the book of Hebrews were saved people that have been saved by the grace of God and had great possessions. But he's talking about the difference. And I know many times that I talk to missionaries and they say it is much easier to go into a country and the gospel is more received by the poor than it is by the rich. I hear people going into neighborhoods or cities here in the States to do mission work. And they say that if they go into what they would refer to as the wealthy subdivisions, that usually the people are not as receptive to the gospel or even to listen to the Word of God. Well, I think that's just a biblical truth that we have to come to grips with. And it doesn't mean that we're not to go to them. It doesn't mean that we're not to witness to them. It doesn't mean they can't be saved. Because who is it that not saved, that is fully receptive, receive the gospel, or will want to hear about the gospel, whether poor or saved. So Jesus reemphasized that and said, "Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." So this alarmed the disciples. It alarmed them. I think a lot about Zacchaeus. Don't you? When I have reference to this, and perhaps even Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and other biblical characters that we know of in the Word of God, I think about perhaps the Apostle Paul. I don't think he was no poor man. Before God saved him by his marvelous grace because of his opportunity of education that he had and how that he and his position that he held in life. But I realize and I know that sometimes we say, well, these people are so hard. But now when he talks about this, he, and the disciples said, who then could be saved? Then Jesus said this to them, with men this is impossible. And you can make reference to whatever is written above that. with men, this is impossible. And I believe definitely it is as to who then can be saved, or dealing with the thought of the context of salvation. And that salvation is not with men, or it's not of man, but it's with the Lord. But he says, but with God all things are possible. And we know that all things always include that which God has purposed and planned or decreed. Now we know that. But God never works contrary to that, or does contrary to His purpose and His plan. So we have this illustration that is used here. But I believe that what we need to acknowledge and recognize, I was talking to those people from that had come from Texas the other day, and they, Brother Ellison is down there, had introduced them to the doctrine of election. As a matter of fact, that's part of what put him out of the church down there. And so this couple was asking me, and they said, do you have anything written on this or anything? I said, well, of course, we the best. The best material you can find is the Bible. Now, if you want something real good on any doctrine, the Bible is the best material you can get. But I have read some good articles and things from various people that have taken the Bible and used the Bible as a basis to come to a truth. So I gave them a copy of T.P. Simmons' Systematic Theology. Because I do know that Brother T.P. Simmons, that used to be right around here, is in line on this doctrine and this truth. And I felt like that it could be. It is not a substitute for the Bible. And we must understand that and recognize that. But it does, and it is good for them to use that as a help. And so they began to quiz me, question me, and ask all kinds of questions. And I said, now here's how it is. I don't know who the Lord's going to save. I don't know who He's selected or chosen. I don't have any idea about that. But I do know what He's told you to do and told me to do, and that's to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we're responsible for. It's glorious to believe these great truths. It is that which causes us to rejoice and to be happy and to have a joy that won't fizzle out. But you can always rejoice in this great truth. But we also must realize and know that we have been given the commission to preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe that's exactly what we ought to keep in mind. So we focus on this and think about who then can be saved, and with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. What we know and what other people need to know, first of all, is salvation is needed. If you're not saved tonight, you need to be. You need to be saved by the grace of God. There is a need for you to be saved. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says this. And he talks about, in verse 1 and 2, and I realize the context of this, but he closed out the first chapter with those who shall be heirs of salvation. He closed that out with the ministering spirits for those who shall be heirs of salvation. And then he said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And I believe that if there's any thing tonight that we know, and I believe that all of us that are saved do know this, that there are people here tonight that need to be saved. Now whether they can be or not, I don't know that. I don't have any idea. But God knows. But I do know for a certainty that you need to be saved. Now why is salvation needed? But we know that too, because Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, said, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. People are dead in trespasses and sins, and so salvation is needed. And not only that, because people that are not saved by the grace of God are people that are condemned. Listen to what Jesus said this himself in John chapter 3 of the third chapter of the book of John, and we've read this several times the last few Sundays, but I'll read it again in John 3:18, and here's this simple truth that we have, which is a great thing. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But now look at this truth. But he that believeth not is condemned already. That means right now. That's what that means now. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That don't have anything to do with whether you are going to believe in the future or whether you're not going to believe. He's just given us forth the truth that he that believeth on him is not condemned. And we all realize that are saved by the Word of God. But we also realize he that believeth not is condemned already. When God brings you to the place of saving you, you're going to feel that condemnation, and you're going to know that. The whole weight of that condemnation is going to come upon you. God will bring that to your attention. So, salvation is needed. We find that the wrath of God abideth upon the sinner that is not believed or has not been saved. For in that 36th verse of this third chapter, look what it says. Basically the same truth as in verse 18. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what I can say to you tonight, and the Word of God says it, if you're here and you're saved, the wrath of God doesn't bite on you. But if you are here and you're not saved, the wrath of God. Amen. You may never suffer the wrath of God because God might save you by His marvelous grace. But I don't know that and you don't know that. But God knows it. And I believe that people that are in this condition need to know that the wrath of God abides upon them and that they need to be saved by the grace of God. And we ought not to soft pedal this thing around. We ought to tell it exactly like the Word of God says it. We ought to say, oh, you're not too bad. And, you know, you. Yeah. He said, what good thing must I do to be saved? And of course, there is nothing that a man himself can do, and there's no goodness that a man himself can do to be saved. And so there is the need of salvation. And why salvation is needed is because man is dead in trespasses and sin, because of condemnation, because the wrath of God abideth on them, and because of the deeds of men that are not saved or evil. That same third chapter of John, it's all right there. Look in verse 19. And in verse 20, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. people that don't like the truths that we believe. I have this preacher friend. It's quite amazing. Y'all remember years ago when I went and preached at Bounty Fork Baptist Church for this good preacher friend of mine, and they were observing their 175th anniversary. Well, I never did tell y'all, but while I was there, me and him got into it over election. Now that makes for a real meeting, you know, like that. And he just got furious and got mad, you know. And I just told him what, you know, said. So I was talking to him the other day, and he had been pastoring several churches around there. And he had now for some time been in, for a while he was in Independent Baptist Church there at Calvary, where Bobby Green is pastor now, where AMK used to. And so he had to have heart surgery and have bypasses, not able to pastor. And so therefore he had gone out to pastor church, and when he had this heart problem, so then he had to decide what church he was going to come to. Now I can't say too much about the church where he's going, because they ordained me. They ordained me in 1962, which is Broadway Baptist Church in Richmond, which is a Southern Baptist church. I had a lot of good friends among Southern Baptists, and I can preach them the same. I can preach them the same thing I've preached to y'all. I believe the same thing. I can preach to them. You know, it's whether they want it or not, but I can preach it to them. But he said, there was some good churches. They could have gone back to Calvary, which is a good church. First Independent Baptist Church in Madison County. They could have gone to Trinity, which is a good church. They're real satisfied. But they didn't. You know why they didn't? They said, well, we wanted to join a church that believe more like we believe. And what they were talking about was, they don't believe more like what we believe. They was trying to find a church that wasn't so strong in the doctrine of grace, to believe the truth about grace. So they sacrificed everything else that they believed for that. I know they're miserable. They gotta be miserable if they know any truth at all. But I'm just saying all this to show you that sometimes people get this thing all balled up, and it's like if I believe what you believe, I wouldn't even preach to lost sinners. Yes, you would. If you believe what I preach, you'd preach to lost sinners, and it'd make you more missionary than you are. Because it'd be missions with a purpose. And you'd know that God has His people that He's going to save. You don't know who they are. They're going to say, why do you think He sends you somewhere? Or that He places you somewhere? It's not just because that you can drum up something and cause something to happen. It's because He's going to bring something to pass that's going to happen. And people are going to be revived, and people are going to be saved, and they are going to have to be taught the Word of God. You have to remember that. So I believe that it really threw them for a loop when he said, who then can be saved? And you talk these truths to people, and it throws them for a loop. They say, well, can anybody be saved? Who then can be saved? Well, I believe that we need to focus on the attention that salvation is needed and why that salvation is needed, but we need to recognize when salvation is needed. You need it now. You need to be saved today. I ain't going to tell you you need to wait for tomorrow. Salvation, if you're not saved, you need to be saved right now. You need to be saved today. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthian church. And he said there in 2 Corinthians, and he said this in chapter 6, in verse 2. Listen to this. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I thought about it. There's some stories of Apostle Paul's witnessing in the book of Acts. If you want to look in the 24th chapter and the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, and one had to deal with Felix, and Paul always witnessed to these people and brought things to their attention about salvation. In the 24th chapter, in verse 24 and verse 25, it says this: And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul. Now notice, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, this is always one of the most enjoyable and happiest moments of your life when somebody sends for you and says, now I need to know how to be saved. Or I need to hear about this faith. And he says, concerning the faith in Christ. And that's what it was about. And he said, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and anchored and said, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But now, what was his motive in this? Read the next verse. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. But regardless of what his motive was, he got preached to. I don't read it. I don't know anything about whether Felix ever called upon the Lord and was saved. I don't know anything about that. But I do know that he got preached to. And I do know that he needed to be saved when he was preached to. I'm not going to worry about that other. That's not your responsibility, and that's not my responsibility. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Now look at this. And he talks about 2 years. And so we see that salvation was needed. But then look in the 26th chapter. And you all familiar with these stories of the Apostle Paul in the 26th chapter and verse 27 down through verse 29. And notice what it says. And Paul puts it to Agrippa and he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know that thou believest. In other words, evidently he'd read the prophets and knew what the prophets said. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's not enough. I've never known of anybody that died and went to heaven almost persuaded. Have you? Now think with me. That's why I have trouble with that song. You know what the last verse of that song says? Almost but lost. I have trouble with that. You know why I have trouble with it? Philippians 1:6. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I've struggled through that song lots of times, you know. I had to sung it because it was sung. And you know, I don't want to be picky and nitpicky, but I believe that we need to grow and learn. Preach the truth and sing the truth. And they harmonize. And they go together. And Paul said, now look here, Paul said, I would to God that not thou only, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and all together, such as I am, except these bonds. Now Paul knew from experience that when the Lord, and I don't mean this wrong, gets on your trail and gets after you, like Brother Bobby said, he's got you. And his time, and Paul knew, and that's what he was talking about, all together. Now, was Paul persuaded? Why, certainly he was. And listen to the words he used so many times. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 38 of the
8th chapter.
Look what he said. This. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul did not and was not almost persuaded. He was all the way persuaded because he had an experience of grace and had been saved by the grace of God. Well, listen to what he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said this. For the which thing, cause I also suffer these things. That is, being a Christian and living a life as a Christian. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So we see that who then can be saved? We need to emphatically declare that salvation is needed. I think that it makes such a difference in when you're praying for people. You've been saved by the grace of God, and you know what it means to be saved. You know what it means to have an experience of grace. You know how it changes your, of course, the spiritual man is what has changed, but you know how that then that a spiritual man even affects the body. And you know what the result is going to be if a person's never saved. But I believe that, and as he said here in this, and I believe that Jesus made this clear. He said, with men this is impossible. It's impossible to be saved within yourselves or by yourselves. Salvation is impossible with man. He cannot blot out his own sins. And there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, when he said in Colossians 2:14, I believe he brings this truth out, he said, and this was talking about Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary and what he did on our behalf. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. In other words, man cannot blot out his own sin. The only way that our sin debt can be taken care of is by Jesus Christ going to Calvary and dying for our sin. Man of himself cannot atone for his own guilt. He cannot change his own heart. All we got to do is look at the condition that man's in. Matthew 15:19 says this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. That's that deeds are doing good or whatever the people try to do to provide their own salvation. But salvation is impossible with man. But what we need to realize is that a man can not only change his heart, but man cannot change. Amen. Jeremiah gave us that. Remember the scripture in Jeremiah? He talked about, used the illustration, can't change your skin. Leper can't change his spots. Use that illustration in Jeremiah 13:23. And so we see here that this brings to our attention that salvation is impossible with man. Man cannot purchase salvation with his own works. I keep going back and I keep thinking because this is what comes to everybody's mind perhaps sometime or other before they're saved. And rightfully so, because this is what a lot of people teach and preach for salvation. is what a person does rather than what God does. And this keeps coming back when he said, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? But man cannot purchase salvation with his own deeds or works. Paul made this clear when he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and there in verse 9. Now these scriptures, what they'll do is to show you how helpless and hopeless that salvation is within you, and showing you exactly where salvation is and it belongs, and that is in the great God of heaven. Listen to what he said in verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now who's he talking about? Well, verse 7 says, for God, and verse 8 says, the power of God. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now look at this. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now look at the rest of that. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So remember here that it's not our works that brings about our salvation, but it's God's purpose and God's grace, and this is not ours and was not ours other than in through the Lord Jesus Christ. That was given to us in Christ before that the world began. And so we see that man cannot purchase his salvation. It's not the works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Titus chapter 3, and there in verse 5, and I'm always, these are practical truths and simple truths, but not everybody sees these truths like you do. Now you've got to think about that. Why, some of you cut your teeth on these truths a long time ago and you know these truths, but not everybody knows these truths. And there's people even among us that don't know these truths and have not been brought to these truths by the Holy Spirit and by the Son of God. I thought about it. Paul said he's writing to the church at Rome, Romans 4, 3 through 8, and said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it's counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But then, if this salvation is needed, and if this salvation is impossible with man, then we must conclude, and the Word of God brings us out, I believe, in this text verse here, that salvation is possible with God. And salvation is only possible with God. Because the whole design of salvation belongs to God. And it is His salvation that He has provided us in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, Brother Peter on Sunday night preached on the prodigal son, Luke 15:18. You can take that two ways. But we do know that the prodigal son is a time. You can look at that in certain things, and types don't always hold true in everything, but you can look at that in a certain way and see how that he was exactly as a lost sinner, that was only interested in himself, and he went out to do his own thing, and then when it says he came to himself, it means that God brought him to himself, or to his senses, and because he'd have never had the thoughts that he had about his father's mouth, and then he began to really know how that he really had it made. So then we see that he was repentant because he said, I'm not worthy even to be called thy son. and just let me be as one of thy servants. And that's the humility and all that God brings a person to. And only God does that. And I believe that salvation is possible with God because He loves the sinner. That is an object of His love. And that's why that salvation is impossible. I mean, it is possible with Him. Not impossible, but it's possible with Him. Look at 1 John chapter 4 in these verses, and this is a familiar verse to us. In verse 10 says this, "Herein is love, not that we love God." Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Now because of that, what did He do? "And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And I believe that we love Him because He first loved us. And that's how it all came about. And yet Paul said to the church at Rome, "While we were yet sinners, Christ came and Christ died for the ungodly." And salvation is possible to God because He laid our sins on Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing about it, it pleased Him to do it. Is that what's said in Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 10? Well, certainly it is. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, and He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand." And then He goes on and says, "And He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. And He shall bear their iniquity." So salvation is possible with God because He laid our sins on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what John had in mind when he said in John 1:29, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." But salvation is possible with God. I don't mean to say that impossible. It's possible. Salvation is impossible with man, but salvation is possible with God because He is mighty to save. There is no case too hard for Him. I've heard people thought they were too great a sinner. Said, "Oh, the Lord never saved me, or I can't be saved." I don't know of anybody like that. I don't. Look at Hebrews 7:25, and this is a great truth. And he says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now we know definitely that salvation is possible with God because He died for the sins of His people. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that, "And all that is brought to repentance and faith by the Holy Spirit can be saved." Every one of them can be. And that's familiar to us in John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 65. In that passage of Scripture, and I hope that you know this one also, and listen to what it says in this. John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now that says salvation is possible with God. Verse 65 says, "But there are some of," verse 64, "of course, there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you," because he knew them, "that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." So what he's saying is here is with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And salvation is one of them. So I believe tonight that we need to fully understand who then can be saved. Salvation is needful. Is needed. Salvation is impossible with man, and salvation is possible with God. It's possible. Now I want to say to you tonight, flat out, if you want to be saved, you can. If you want to be saved tonight, you can be. Right in this service. I'm so thankful that one day God brought me to the cross where I wanted that more than anything else. He did not save me against my will. He did not. And I didn't have any idea about what I know now about truth. Didn't have any idea about these truths that I know and believe in. God brought me to the place to where I wanted to be saved more than anything else. He enabled me to repent of my sins and receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I preach the time on this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, there's among us tonight those that need to be saved. And I think everybody, as to whether or not, as to, even from the head knowledge thing, you can recognize that. The full impact of that comes when God works on you. You really become God conscious. You become conscious of your need and your condition. And if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you tonight and bring you to the place to where you want to be saved, then you can be. By receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
You can be.
Oh, you're not going to want to, buddy.
Well, let's stop looking. This is the right thing.
I'm not talking to four people. Mm-hmm. I could almost, I don't know. I mean, I could throw my hands up. Ain't nobody believes the truth any stronger than I do. And I'm not an Armenian. If you want to be saved tonight, you can be. Stand and sing a song, brother.